Grace be yours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, for a short time, I would like to comment upon one verse of the reading which you have just heard, namely verse 5 of chapter 2 of Ezekiel. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that there has been a prophet among them. And we consider these words in the context of this week's theme, Luke 10:16. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. There is an oft-recurring problem in religion and theology: the tendency to make God abstract and transcendent. This can be done in various ways. One could have the God of the philosophers, which is essentially a geometric monad, a principle of unity. Or one can see God primarily as the absentee landlord who nevertheless gives his laws and commands, and true religion then is simply to obey them. But as we celebrated last week, the week of Trinity, this has never been the Christian view of God. God becomes, if you will, more himself the more imminent he is, the more close by he is, the more at work among us he is. Luther understood this in his famous words, "Do not look up, for there you will not find God. Do not look to the side, for you will not find him there either. But rather look below, for there he is." For if there is anything that the church wished to assert by its doctrine of the Trinity, it was that in this one person, Jesus of Nazareth, in his person and in his work, God was revealed. This was not some extra thing which God did on the spur of the moment. It was not some sort of thing of will that he had arbitrarily chosen to do. But rather, the work of Christ was the work of love precisely because God himself is love and is characterized by that eternal relationship of Father and Son, of mutual love and concord. The verses which we have just read extend this thought somewhat. As the Trinity season does, it now looks to that Christian discipline and life which flows out of those concrete deeds of God which the first part of the church year has celebrated. He who hears you, now says Jesus, hears me. And he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. There is then a kaleidoscopic accent here. There is a sense, indeed a full and complete sense, in which Christ revealed the Father and did, and indeed was the very incarnation of the Father's will. To see Christ was to see the Father. Or as Tertullian so poignantly expressed it, Christ was the very effluence of the Father's innards. You see in Christ the Father's real nature and the Father's real will, and that is the nature of love and the will to save. But now we hear about us. We too are incorporated into this divine reality by virtue of God's work in Christ and by virtue of our own baptisms which have brought us into it. And now we, when we cannot escape this, are not mere appendages hooked on by nails and screws, but have no internal and cohesive and organic relationship to that which God did. We reflect God because, as Paul would put it, we have been baptized into Him and so have put Him on, and therefore through the Spirit are built up into Christ, being conformed to His image. There is no way for the Christian to escape this. It is now part of his very nature as redeemed man. And hence the poignancy, the urgency of New Testament paranesis. Love your neighbor. Be conformed to Christ in your life. Love God as He has loved you, or love your neighbor as God has loved you. Finally, it means about the same thing. For not to do so is not only to sunder and to bring to naught the salvation which God wreaks, it is to scar the very image of Christ into which you have been made. It is tough, and we might as well face it clearly and forthrightly. It is tough as Lutherans sometimes to speak in terms like this. For we always like to speak of the gospel itself, as we should. But there are passages of the Bible, too, and indeed the whole second half of the church year, which speaks, so to speak, of the other side of justification and what finally it meant and for what it worked. And what did it work for? That we, having been made Christians, speak the things of God in Christ's name, for He is the very Word of God. That we as Christians reflect, even in our lives, in our comradeship with one another, in the community of saints, that community of love which Christ revealed as the eternal Son made flesh. It is in this context, then, that the Scriptures also can speak of the church, especially in John's Gospel, as that participation already in that unity which the Son has with the Father. For by Christ have we been made one with Him, and therefore with Him one with the Father. We are then to reflect none other than the Trinity of love and of unity by our unity of confession, our unity of faith, our unity of hope, and our community of love. And all this is what the second half of the church year is all about. May the God of grace keep you in that true faith which binds you inseparably with the Son and with Him inseparably with the Father. Amen.